it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello and welcome to this Foot Weekly podcast. We've got a special episode for you, an interview with the lead gameplay producer on EA FC. I'm also joined by Air Japes, though, not a lead gameplay producer, but, you know, certainly leading on gameplay in various ways over the years.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but maybe someday I'll decide to make a move to Vancouver or something like that and see if I can work on the game itself, but yeah. That day is not today. So I always enjoy this podcast very much, though, because it's a chance to get really hyper focused and detailed in many ways. Mm. And this is where I start to build that true like excitement for the upcoming year. So looking forward to this one for a while now.
Yeah. If you find out what the people who make the game are excited about, it's always very interesting to hear every year. And we're delighted to welcome back to the podcast, as I said, lead gameplay producer, Sam Kovalev. Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm really glad to be part of this special podcast.
Yeah.
And now I'm a little bit worried. Am I job in it in a stress? Because you're coming for it, apparently.
Yeah,
I love a little bit of competition. Actually, it's good to have to grow the team, get new talent on the team.
I'm going to assume them not be on the podcast. So I'll say I was wrong. He'd be a terrible gameplay producer. Don't employ him. But let's dive into talking about this because we don't have too much time. And actually, for that reason, we won't be doing explanations of the features, just discussing them with Sam here. And Sam is a gameplay producer. So although people might have questions about, I don't know, Ultimate Team, Champs, Rivals, etc., things like that, that isn't going to be what Sam works on, so we won't be talking about those things. Maybe we'll get someone in the future to talk about those elements. But on this episode, we'll be talking mainly EA FC features. In the part two, probably more about more general gameplay frustrations and metas and things like that. But let's start off with a straightforward question. I'm not sure the answer is straightforward. What is going to be the biggest gameplay change, Sam, for players going into EA FC 24?
It's probably one of the hardest questions.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So I feel like when we just started the working on the FC 24, one of the questions that was constantly popping up in our head was what makes and what defines a footballer and makes them different from one from another? What makes Messi? What makes Mbappe Mbappe? And one of the keywords and the creative vision pillars that we set up early in production was, it's all about the way that the footballers look, moves, and plays on the pitch. So I know like all of these three keywords are associated with the big trio of the technologies, the Sapien. It's about the, how the player looks, the cloth around the players, their body topology. It's about the moves and the hypermotion V, the top-notch technologies, machine learning algorithm. So that's super exciting. And the third one, the big one, is about the way how they actually perform on the pitch. And one of the biggest part of the play is the play styles. And I feel like in the end, the when it comes to the question, what is the biggest gameplay change? I feel like it's the sheer amount and the it's all of them combined. And I feel like the I'm really hope that everyone who tries FC24 will find something that will truly excite and completely change the way they play in the game from one year to another. I feel like the for me personally, play styles is one of the biggest opportunities that can completely redefine and reshape the way you approach the game and the way you play in any game modes, really.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And I think the follow on, or I suppose the next question that comes to mind for me is how much better, more so, what is the difference between PlayStyle versus PlayStyle Plus?
Well, I feel like when we talk about the PlayStyles, PlayStyle Plus, in a similar way, I can share a little bit of sneak peek into the development kitchen and how we approach development features. Obviously, we had like forth and back, sometimes very heated, very passionate discussions about how exactly we want to implement this, because many other sports titles and like similar games, we can had even some inspirations from the, let's say, RPGs, if we say that. There is so many different ways how the way you want to implement, the way you want to make like the differences, certain, let's say, gameplay advantages and the boosts. There's definitely around like 5-6 completely different implementations you can do when you approach to implement system like that. But one of our key objective was to make a system that respects our current gameplay philosophy, which is always about fairness, creating the skill gap, but at the same time keeping this authentic, keeping the game feel natural as something you would expect to see by watching the weekend league, watching TV, experience like a World Cup. So it's something about which is authentic, something that's is believable, is true to football, it's real. So then it comes to, in a way, to create, in a certain ways, like a DNA of the players, like their fingerprints. It's a combination of the play styles that define one player from another. Let's say if we take again about Messi and Mbappe, they both are amazing on the ball. They can dribble past each defender. But the way they will get past the defender or they will dribble past the defender is different. And that's what defines their personalities and the way how they behave on the pitch. So when we're creating the play styles, we're trying to make them to be as diverse as possible in terms of covering all the football aspects on the pitch. So we're talking about attacking, passing, defending. So it's basically regardless of what's your position on the pitch, what's your emploi on the pitch, there are several very useful play styles that are key for that position, that role to be successful at football. And something that we actually can see in real life, like having the intercept on your defensive center mid. That's a very key attribute that we can see in the players like N'Golo Kante playing in the game. So we brought the inspirations in terms of the coverage and the like spread around. That's why we have so many play styles. When it comes to the levels, we created these two tiers coming up with two different objectives. What I was just mentioned before, the like a DNA and the fingerprints, those are the regular level of the play styles, because we know that the elite players, they're so good, they can do like several things at a very good level, which kind of differentiates them from the rest. But it's more, let's say, like the outside foot shots. Many players can do them and use them very efficiently in their day-to-day play. So that's kind of defines their DNA, and that's why it's a combination. 5, 6, 7. That combination, it defines the player. You literally can close your eyes. No, actually, not close your eyes. Close the picture of the player. Try to guess what the player is based on the combination of the play styles. And at the same time, we also wanted to recognize the absolute great, the best of the best, like top of the world, something that only very few can do. And this is where the PlayStyles Plus comes in. It's going from special to spectacular because it's truly an extra level of getting to recognize unique abilities of a specific players. Because only very few players, we're talking about like 100 players at the day one that will have access of PlayStyle Plus, which will really kind of separate them from the rest in their true uniqueness. So that's why we wanted to make like a Playstyle Plus, something which is more noticeable, more visually noticeable, but also more noticeable in terms of the gameplay effects and in terms of the which additional boosts or additional advantage it can give. Because each Playstyle Plus, we wanted to create in such a way that it will be desired by the players, because they really want to play. Oh, I want to try Playstyle with the cheap shots. Now I have the access to the players. Okay, let's see how it's working. Okay, I love it. I will do it more and more than the power shot. So it's like dependent, you're switching from one to another. Each of them is like, oh, this one is good. This one is good. This one is good. It's like all of them are good. And then you started to make choices. And this choice making is where the, I feel like when the real fun begins.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I believe this is going to be released after the beta has closed. And we had the opportunity to talk about the beta last time. And the Playstyle Plus experimentation, if you like, has definitely been one of the most fun parts of playing the game. And I'm really looking forward to everyone getting to do that. One thing that was quite interesting is some of these boost specific stats, I guess, at least behind the scenes, you don't necessarily see it, but I'm guessing they do. Whereas others are more general. For example, I noticed the chip shot one you mentioned allows them to take the chip shot quicker, which isn't something that's, I guess, reflected typically in a player's stats. I don't know, maybe reactions or something like that. But there's also things like giant throw, for example, more traditional traits, which didn't affect specific stats, but allowed a player to do something different. When they do affect stats, examples might be, I don't know, technical and rapid, which increase the speed of a player. Is it essentially just boosting a stat by a certain percentage? And is that percentage really actually quite big at Playstyle Plus level? And I guess, I don't know whether you could say, but I'd be interested to know like how much it steps up from Playstyle to Playstyle Plus.
This is a very great question. And I feel like it would be great for me to share more like in depth in exactly how it's working. Mm. So in reality, none of the playstyles are directly affecting any of the attributes.
Oh,
it's okay. A separate system. So it's a design wise to create something that goes hand in hand with the attributes, but it's parallel. So think about this. When you're shooting, let's take about the finesse shot. So there is lots of things that are scaled with the attributes, the accuracy, the amount of arrow they can put on the ball, how you can behave under pressure when the opponents are nearby, when the composure takes into calculation. So this represents your basically ability to perform a certain action with the more efficiency. Mm. At the same time, the play style with the finesse shot adds extra gated behavior in a sense. Suddenly you have access to more curvature, more curve on the trajectory, or you can play animation a little bit faster. So you're like faster on the ball, exactly like you mentioned. So it's those things create a unique skill, so to speak, that the player can access like in real world. So in the end, there could be a combination that, let's say you can have a very high, let's say 99 attributes. You can score effectively with the finesse, but you will never see a super curvy, loopy trajectory finesse with the 99 without the play style. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you can have a player with the play style and the play style plus, but still in the, let's say, high 80s attributes. So that would mean you will see those effects that the play styles unlock with the more curved trajectory, a loopy going around the goalkeeper. But then your, let's say, accuracy and efficiency will be less consistent if your attributes would be 99. Mm. And of course, then you have a combination of 99 and the playstyle. And I can even mention that the playstyles and the way how basically everything, or not everything, but most of the things are implemented on the gameplay side, is that we know that the attributes matter. What defines the player personalities, because we spend a lot of time in making sure that we kind of recognize the best players in the world. So we get inspired from the best players of the world. And that's why we create like their personalities and progression within the game. the play styles are naturally kind of scaled and improved alongside with the attributes. So it means that the maximum effect and of the playstyle plus will come when your attributes are also at the max, 99. Mm. So when you, let's say you have a player who has shot power 95 and the finishing 95, and you get access to playstyle plus shot power, it doesn't mean that you no longer, there is no purpose in upgrading further the shot power attribute. Actually, in reverse, maybe now it's even more beneficial because those extra final like stretch to 99 for the maximum possible kind of benefits and the like a super rocket shot will come in with the 99 with the playstyle combination. So it's two systems that kind of help each other, and they usually target it on the design wise on the different aspects of the game. Attributes work more towards like hidden things, like more like the effectiveness, while the playstyles in its mass, well, we'll try to make them more visual, something that makes a difference, something that makes, let's say, a different outcome, like the stop tackles on the anticipate, or the trajectory on the curve, or the time to content on the power shot. That's a big difference coming up on from the playstyles. So we try to make as many of them as possible to be visually noticeable by the players. But of course, it's very different one to another. So each playstyle is like uniquely crafted by the producers and designers on that particular area to make sure that what makes sense to keep the game, again, fair, to keep the game balanced, but also give a sense of progression in within. And of course, let's say for the shot, maybe it's more noticeable. Maybe the certain play styles like, let's say, tiki-taka. It might be a little bit going under the radar. It's a little bit hidden, but it's improve the such a basic and the core concept of like ground passes and the short passes, which are happening a lot in your game. So you might not notice this, but while playing each game, you suddenly say like, you know what? I'm having a lot of success with that particular player, and he has a tiki-taka. Mm-hmm. And that might be not a coincidence. That's actually something that maybe you will be able to feel over the course of the games. And I feel like these, as I was mentioned before, the real fun will begin like later on when you will try to find what type of the recipe, in a sense, and the combination of the players would really suit your personal play style, no pun intended, in a way that, you know what, I like this combination. Sure, I can watch, listen to the podcast, I can watch the content creators created on YouTube recommended certain players, but you know what, I disagree with them. I love tiki-taka. I put like 3 players with tiki-taka and I have a great success playing with this. So I feel like these hidden combos that work for you will be something truly exciting.
I think that leads in nicely to the question that gets asked every single year without fail. So we might as well get it out of the way early, is will Toni Kroos be usable in FC24? And usable is heavily in quotes.
Are you asking this question like every year?
We won't hear the end of it if we don't ask this question. So we, you know, yeah, we do our service to the community and we have to ask.
And to be honest, like, I love him. I usually every year I'm waiting for one of his special cards coming up that, let's be honest, bumps a little bit up the speed. But at the same time, I feel like the playstyles definitely will help in this direction. And especially, it can be he can be a particular, like a corner piece in your center mid, in certain like overall strategies, formations, when you rely on a great long pass coming towards your wingers for them to receive. So a lot of the play styles, you can also think about them as a potential like a synergy in between the players. So some of them are very obvious, more like if you have a winger with the whip cross, and the tall striker with the aerial duel and then going up for the power header. I think that's a combo wombo in a sense. That and this is quite noticeable. I feel like at the same time, the having the deep line playmaker, the player that have access to both, let's say, long pass, but also like a short pass, tiki-taka, like the going out for the through balls, having the like versatility that suddenly you can have all, let's say, three types of passes that you predominantly use are improved with the playstyles. Suddenly that player might for you check all the marks, and it's more about what type of the plays you create. Because I feel like everyone will have their own opinion on which play styles are the best for the positions. Certainly, some of them might become like meta play styles, and like it's a no-brainer. You want to have this. Let's say maybe all the defenders jockey might become, because we know like jockey is a very competitive part of the game. It's very highly used technique. So, but then the others are up for debate, up for personal preferences. And then if you have a player that check marks for you all your four preferences, then that player is immediately more valuable and more efficient for you. So I'm pretty sure there will be a certain place with the deep line playmakers in the center mid relying on sending the long ball and like being as a true deep line playmaker and finding the your teammates up front. Then the Toni Kroos will check several marks for this particular strategy. And then, yeah, he will be definitely a very useful player and might be more valuable and more viable compared to previous years.
Mm. That actually leads me on from that question about through balls to this listener question from Bertasaka. He was asking whether essentially there would be less of a focus on through balls, I guess, in 24, and felt that in last year's game, and actually in the conversations we had before launch, there was hope that maybe the through ball wouldn't be quite so effective. I think accelerate and lengthy might have been a bit of an issue for stopping that becoming such a meta. We can talk about that in a bit, but what has been done for FC 24 to really, I guess, focus on gameplay outside of through balls?
I think like here, when it comes to create a play, and like I know like it has a great success on the development floor. We're starting to see some feedback from the closed beta more and more right now. But the precision pass as a new feature can completely change your go-to usage of the game and the way you play and the mechanics, because it's such a core like football IQ element. Because when we in the beginning of the year, I feel like precision pass is a great feature that kind of actually defines and is a good example of how we approach in developing the features. Because we knew like in the past people were saying like we want to be in the control of the outcome, like when it comes to passes. Because precision pass will allow not only to kind of visually see with the indicator where the ball will land, but it also helps you to direct your teammate, the receiver of the pass, to go a little bit wider into the open space, or trying to make like a needle thread in between the defenders with like a precision. So it's something that recognizes the football IQ, understanding of the game, understanding of the football as a sport in general, but understanding FC24 and the meta in particular is something that can reward high skill as well. So I feel like that feature is quite interesting, and I would encourage everyone to try it out. Of course, it doesn't mean like you need to suddenly use only the precision passes in the game, but I feel like it actually defines that we want to give as many tools as possible to the players that create a different outcome, that create a different choice. And I know like in these situations, these type of plays, this is a kind of the go-to. I can have a success with this because it's designed for situations like this with the, let's say, open space on the wide, and I can get around the defenders. And then it comes to our design challenges, in the sense that then we're saying, like, the precision pass is something that we're looking at as a way of, like, this should be good in this kind of situation. So then the through pass, as a matter, maybe in the past, because it's kind of, the, in a sense, more assisted. And sometimes some people will say, like, oh, this is a little bit, I would prefer this, I would prefer the other outcome. So there's always a little bit of, like, a small mini camps arguing what they want in a particular case. So I think, like, a precision pass opens, resolves this conflict in a sense by creating something that player wanted. And I know, like, many players have very high appreciation and success with the precision passes already. Especially once you learn the precision pass in its effectiveness, you can also go to the swerve variation of the precision pass, which is very good, very good. And every time you hit it, it's very rewarding because it's a smart play. You instantly feel like the game recognized you as a good player in a sense, which I feel like it's a good feeling. So I feel like that was our focus on the like precision pass, and I feel like the smart play, smart finding of the play with the precision pass might become more prominent on the competitive scene, on the high competitive level of the game, but also across all the levels. But when it comes to usage, you know that it's fair because it's not easy to pull out. You need to understand where your players are moving. You're in control of the game. And I feel like it creates a more balanced gameplay experience.
One of the things that's gone under the radar, but I am most excited for as a longtime semi-assisted shooter of the ball, is precision shooting. Pretty interesting in testing. Can you talk to us a little bit more about what the goal was when putting that into the game?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can even mention a little bit of like extra comment on what you just said about going a little bit under the radar. We almost feel like it's a blessing and a curse that we have so many features. I feel like this year is filled up with the so many great features, mechanics, and improvements. It could be even sometimes small improvements that go under the radar, but they will tremendously improve the feel of the game. And even like, you know, like we were making our gameplay deep dive, we were focusing on like, it should be kind of short, impactful message. We worked closely with the marketing. Let's focus on the big trio of technologies. It's something that will drive the conversation the whole year, something that will be easy for the people to jump in, to maybe get a glimpse of this, and then we'll redirect to the pitch notes. And I feel like the gameplay deep dive pitch notes are greater. So we know that we have a great amount of people going onto the website, learning of them. And you can definitely judge by scrolling and like by reading through, there's a lot. So in a sense, because of that, I feel like many of the small additions might feel they were under radar, but it's just because like, if we just talk about the gameplay and make the deep dive trailer, it might be like an hour and a half. And maybe it will be really more difficult, you know, to listen just for the full hour. But that's why some of the features maybe had like less of the spotlight, because there's so many, I feel, features that deserve the spotlights. In particular, the precision shooting is something that definitely designed with the kill gap in mind, something that's designed to have to reward players for recognizing the good plays, but also adds the high risk because you need to aim. And this is something we genuinely look within our team in a ways how to create a fair mechanics that will scale up with the skill and will create like a rewarding experience, high risk, high reward. For example, the power shot from the last year, they introduced a more manual aim. And let's say on paper, when we were just starting work on the power shot, many people say like, you know what, that's absolutely overpowered. It's you cannot implement something in the game. It will be just game over. Everyone will just stop scoring. But then at the same time, you need to aim. It takes more time. So it's always the other factors that plays in. And the final outcome of power shots came up very balanced, something that people enjoyed and were not complaining that it's that broke the game in a sense. The precision shooting is something that will kind of follows this more manual aim. And I feel like having the visual indicator of where you're aiming with this truly helps. And it's something that maybe more and more players will try. It is not on by default, because it is something that you need to learn. You need to try by yourself. Well, with the games, practice a lot. For some players, it might mean that you need to change some of your building, in a sense, like muscular memory of like how you approach on the attack and third. But I think it's definitely the feature that if you go into play FC24 for months and months to play in, I think it's something that is worth trying, worth practicing. And I'm sure that more and more players will find it as their default ways of playing. So having this kind of a feature that is harder, but it's fair and it requires the skill. So then you understand, like, if I want to be successful in this, I also need to be good at aiming. I think it's fair. I think it's truly keeps the spirit of like balanced gameplay in place, but it also gives additional like a skill gap for the player. Mm. So it's check marks for all the kind of our design objectives.
That's I love features that, you know, can help promote that gap, I suppose. I think the kind of follow-up question that I have never felt like a true sense of clarity on is how some of these more manual features like precision shooting, how the ratings specifically interact with that. Because if it is more manual, oftentimes maybe it feels like the ratings are less important. Can you talk us through how you think about the way player ratings and stats interact with some of the more manual features?
It's a similar way that we were talking about like previously with the play styles. In a sense that everything that we implement within the gameplay, everything has some sort of the progression and scaling relating to the attributes. A lot of times it's very different the way it's implemented feature to feature. Like we, even like when you're shooting, there's like dozens and dozens of gameplay factors that can play in that particular situations about like how the ball will spin, is the pressure is applied, where exactly you aimed, and like the player attributes, like the angle of the approach, speed. So there's like dozens and dozens of like graphs coming up, and all of them are scaled in a sense. And sometimes they add like the additive bonus. Sometimes it's the multiplier. But think about this: that the, in a sense, that the precision shooting can, if your aim is like extremely good and you aimed exactly for the corner, suddenly, the attributes will give you even the higher bonus if it was like a regular assisted shooting. But at the same time, there's a higher risk if your aim is really bad. Suddenly, like it goes quite away. I can say for sure that the attributes, in particular case of the precision shooting, the higher the attributes they are, one of the effects of the higher attributes is the kind of allowed leverage of how close you need to be to aiming towards the net. So imagine there is a net, there is a post. If you had a player with, I don't know, low 60s, or 70s attributes, yeah, to be consistently shoot on target, you would probably need to always aim exactly at the corner of the net, which we know like probably impossible, or maybe possible. Okay, it's impossible for me. Okay, I'm not that good at the like with the aiming, especially in the heated battles we have sometimes in our game. But then the higher tibet, it's a little bit increase the kind of the zone in which it's still considered like a good aim. It's still very narrow, especially compared to assisted shooting, but it's more like just a direction, near post, far post. But the attributes are definitely played up here. That's why in the features like the practice arena, you can go up there, you can switch from one player to another, try to experiment this, and feel the difference from yourself. Because if you're practicing everything like with Messi, I mean, he's good, but he's already have like high attributes everywhere. He's good at everything. So if you go into precision shooting immediately, oh yeah, he's already good. But then there is still progression, as I mentioned, in all of the gameplay features. They do not stop at, I don't know, 95 or 92. There is always a reason that we implement for people to chase this 99, because you know it's gets given more and more sometimes the leverage for the feature, or the even more accurate, and especially in the very heated games, like good player against a good player, and the even matchmaking, sometimes even small addition might be the change of the outcome between of the score and the goal, and the keeper saving it. So that's definitely works up there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how many people try it out early on, because obviously you've got lower shooting stats generally at that point, and then as time goes on, those get better. So maybe people would be more inclined to try it when there is a bit more tolerance in their aiming, when the finishing is better. But we should probably take a break there, actually. We're going to split this into two. We're going to do a part two, which will be more focused on more general gameplay frustrations, as well as a bit of specific EAFC 24 chat too. For now, thank you very much to Japes and to Sam K. And we will say our goodbyes. If you would like to listen to that next episode, then why not subscribe? You'll get every podcast directly into your podcast feed. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts from. And if you're listening on YouTube, then do leave a like, drop a comment. It definitely does help out. And of course, if you would like double the podcast content, then you can become a supporter. It's just £3 a month and it keeps the podcast going. A huge thank you if you are a supporter. It really does make a big difference. And a big thank you too to those Icon patrons: Dave B, Hugh J, Coach Vass, DJ FIFA Player, Alan G, Alistair, Anthony R, Dominic P, Rob P, Jeff B, Stephen F, Tom B, Damon H, David S, Nick Jack M, Eric T, Neil P, Adam G, Kirky87, Dan W, Waterman, N Hagman, Harry A, Jake G, Roger D, Springford, Elec, Bracco, Nishant, Harry P, Alex M, Lee A, Brendan W, Andrew C, Joe W, Timothy J, Dylan, Jay Kell, Ibis24, Adam R, Sam K, Graham W, Andy, Ads H2K, and Brian V. Plus a special thanks to Luke M, Dave B, Hugh J, Tom M, Darren W, and Pato Foot for advice and production assistance. Before I leave you, just one more thing to add, though. FIFA's a bit like life, really. It has its many ups and its many downs. If you're having a few more downs than ups in real life in these more difficult times, then please don't feel that you're alone or need to struggle on without taking action. If you go to thecalmzone.net, there's loads of resources, advice, support, or even just a friendly chat for anyone who needs it. If it sounds like it could help you, then head over to thecalmzone.net. And for now, have a good one, and I'll catch you on the next podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.